Gospel of Luke, chapter 12, look with me, verse 16. In fact, look at verse 15, Luke 12, 15. And he spake a parable, verse 15, and he said unto them, take heed, verse 15, and beware of covetousness, for man's life consisteth not in the abundance of things which he possesseth. So he's talked about that, and then he gets into the parable or the story that Jesus spoke in verse 16. And he spake a parable unto them, saying, the ground of a certain rich man brought forth plentifully. And he thought within himself, saying, what shall I do? Because I have no room where to bestow my fruits. And he said, this will I do. I will pull down my barns and will build greater. And there will I bestow all my fruits and my goods. And I will say to my soul, soul, thou hast much goods laid up for many years. Take thine ease, eat, drink, and be merry. Verse 20, but God said unto him, thou fool, this night thy soul shall be required of thee. Then who shall those things be which thou hast provided? So is he that layeth up treasure for himself and is not rich toward God. Jesus was a storyteller. In the synagogues, they tried to trick him and test him and tempt him, trying to get him to simply disobey a law that they thought was a law that they thought they couldn't break. And so Jesus moved from the synagogues out to the people, out to the villages, out to where people were, and he began to give stories called parables. He spoke in parables. He would tell a familiar story known to most of his audience. And then he would pull out a specific meaning out of the context. And so that's how Jesus worked when he gave stories. Now, a parable simply means a couple things, but one of the things that we've learned that it means is it is a truth that's thrown alongside to simply give something familiar and to simply to something that's unfamiliar, and then together it simply teaches a deeper spiritual truth to give a deep spiritual understanding. The whole purpose of Jesus' parables, the whole purpose of Jesus telling stories, was to give them something that they understood, and then by them understanding something, they throw something beside it and would compare it and give an illustration, an analogy, and so forth. And so we have before us, which is the parable of the rich fool, which most of us know all that. We've heard that story. We've read that story. We've been taught that story in Sunday school and Vacation Bible School. And so he starts out in verse 15. Beware of covetousness, for a man's life consists not in the abundance of things which he simply possesses. And so we see that today in 2022. We have people that live for themselves. They live for things. They live for more and more. They live for me, myself, and I. And that's exactly why we can kind of understand his story, because we know people, or we might have been in that situation ourselves at one time. And so it's a story to simply give us a better truth, a better understanding. Jesus focuses on the invisible many times, and the silent sin of greed is what that verse in verse 15 is talking about. Knowing that greed can and greed will warp one's mind, one's life, one's future. If someone's greedy and they're selfish and they're full of themselves and it's all about themselves and no others, then it could simply look good on the surface when you're looking at them, but inside it simply gnaws away with the greed, and it messes up your mind, your life, and your future. So Jesus starts the parable here in the Gospel of Luke about a farmer. A farmer who had enjoyed a season of unbroken prosperity. Everything he touched is golden. And so that's how he starts the story. He's talking to an audience that understands that. You have good years in farming, bad years in farming. You have great crops, a bumper crop, some years you don't. So he's explaining this bumper crop year to an audience that understands farming and understands what Jesus is talking about. In verse 16, the ground of this farmer brought forth plentifully. He had an abundant harvest that year. Everybody gets that. We get that. We understand that. But that this farmer, he realizes with his bumper crop that he has been blessed by God with. But he thinks it's all him, so to speak. And so this farmer realizes, man, I've got this bumper crop and I don't even have enough room. I don't have enough room in my barns, my current barns, to store all this crop, all this fruit, all this bounty. And so in verse 19, he speaks to himself, what shall I do? I have no room to store my crops, to store my fruits of my labor. So the farmer does what maybe we've done, or we know people that's done it, and Jesus is teaching against it. But the farmer did what most of us have done, or we think about doing. We simply come up with our own solution. And that's exactly what he does. In verse 18, I will tear down my barns and build greater barns. He's got it figured out. He's got it figured out. I'm going to store it. I'll store it. I'll have my bigger barns and I'll be able to store all the bounty, all the fruit. I will keep it. I will hoard it. In verse 19, I will then be able to sit back. I've got this bumper crop and I'm going to have it all stored up in these bigger barns. I'm going to have so much there that I'll be able to sit back finally. I'll be able to eat, drink, and be merry. I'll be able to take it easy. That's his words. That's the words that Jesus is saying in the parable, the story. And then the Bible says that God says to him, his own self-solution to the problem, God says, thou fool. This night, thy soul shall be required of thee. Wow, all of a sudden, God comes into play and he just simply says, what about today? What about tonight? We're not promised of tomorrow. This farmer planned to have a garden. This farmer planned to have a crop. This farmer had planned to store his crop in his current barns. This farmer decided after having a bumper crop season, he simply planned to tear down the old barns and build bigger barns and to store all this bumper crop for the future. This farmer planned to enjoy a life, to take it easy, to have a life of ease, to eat, drink, and be merry. The problem is the farmer didn't realize to prepare for his soul, his future, his eternity. And that's the message that Jesus has given in this story of the parable. The farmer remembered the wrong things and he forgot the right things. This morning, I want to kind of talk about that a little bit by starting with he remembered himself. In verse 17, you can count 12 personal pronouns. It was about him. It was about me. It was about I. It was about myself. There are 12 different personal, first-person pronouns of this farmer. He remembered himself. Self-indulgence. I did this. Self-made. I have this. Puffed up. I deserve this. So all through here, that's how Jesus starts the parable. It's how Jesus tells the story. I heard about the pastor that was invited to dinner at the home of a very wealthy cattleman inside his church. After eating this delicious meal with the family of the cattleman and his family, the owner of the house that invited him, the man and the pastor, they walk out to the front porch. The owner was showing off his estate to the pastor. The owner says to the pastor 25 years ago, I had nothing. He said, anywhere you can look out here off my front porch, it's now all mine. The owner said to the pastor, if you'll look over here, you'll see the herds of cattle. 25 years ago, I had nothing, but you'll see all these herds. He says, they're all mine. He told the pastor, if you look in this direction, over to the west over here, he said, man, you can see all the cropland and all the rows of crops that are planted. 25 years ago, I had nothing. Today, it's all mine. The pastor stepped off the porch and pointed toward heaven and asked the cattleman, how much do you have in that bridge? See, this far remembered the wrong things. He thought about himself, me, myself, and I. And we've got to be careful when we see this to see the spiritual understanding, the spiritual meaning that Jesus is trying to get across. See, many who plan to see God at the 11th hour of their future, their life, they die 10:30. That's exactly what Jesus is teaching here. You see, it's not the person who says, I'm afraid to die. I'm not afraid to die. I just don't want to be there when it happens. You don't know when it's going to happen. You don't know about tomorrow. You don't know about the future. You live today serving the Lord. And that's exactly what Jesus is teaching. See, it's been said that one reason Jesus came into the world was to teach us to banish the words I and mine and to substitute those two words with we and ours. The model prayer that Jesus gives in the Gospel of Matthew, it says, our Father, which art in heaven, give us this day our daily bread. That Jesus taught that model prayer. Give us that day our daily bread and forgive us of our trespasses. You see, it's totally different. It's not I, it's not me, it's not just about self. But Jesus taught that. He's teaching that here in this parable, teaching no such thing as a solo act. It's you and me plus God. And so he remembered the wrong things. This farmer remembered himself. See, in his eyes, he was number one person in his life. But not only did he remember himself being a wrong thing, number two, he remembered this temporary world. He forgot it was temporary. And many people do that. They live for the day. They live fast. They've got plans for themselves. And not so bad overall, but you've got to always realize that, hey, it's, the clock is ticking for all of us, and that's a God thing. He was so preoccupied with things of this world, this farmer, he forgot there was an eternal world after this world. Now, between Christmas and New Year's last year, so Christmas passed, and then before New Year's happened, Cheryl and I took a trip from here to Asheville, North Carolina. And we went to Asheville, North Carolina to see the great Biltmore Estate. The reason we went there is because during that time, they haven't decorated for Christmas. Our family had been there before, but we heard they decorated for Christmas and have the lights and the trees and the wreaths and all the stuff that my wife wanted to see. And so we said, hey, it'd be a good time to do it. And so we drove from here to Biltmore to see that wonderful estate in its Christmas decoration season. And so we did that. Now, I don't know if you've ever been to the Biltmore, but if you ever saw the movie Richie Rich on the film that was made, it was actually recorded there at the Biltmore estate. This large, as a matter of fact, it's the single largest structure in the U.S. It's so massive, it's so beautiful. The craftsmanship second to none. It's a beautiful estate. It's got breathtaking beauty as far as the landscape. And it was the first house that was ever built with an indoor pool. It was the first house that was ever built with a bowling alley. So it's got all the perks, all the things that you'd say the rich and famous have. It was built such a long time ago that it's amazing. But people that go there have said this about that estate and about the massiveness of the beautiful libraries and the fireplaces and the chandeliers and the marble countertops and just all this kind of stuff that had been shipped in. They say this about places like that. They said it's things like this, the things inside the billboard. It's things like this that make it difficult to die. It's things of the world that attracts us, that grabs us, that puts a hold on us. It's the things of the world that does that. And so that's an illustration I'm giving that, hey, if you're not careful, when your eyes off the wrong things. And this farmer got his eyes off of this temporary world. He kept it on the temporary world instead of eternity after this world. The farmer remembered the wrong things. He remembered himself. Number two, he remembered the temporary. He remembered just the day-to-day temporary world. James says this: what is your life? It is just a vapor. He describes life in the book of James. It's just a vapor that appears for a little time and then vanishes away. It's kind of like the being out in the cold and your breath turns to a little fog there, and there it is, and then it's gone. And he describes that's how life is. That's how our life, my life, your life is, according to the book of James. It's here for a little while, and then it's gone. And so this farmer forgot that his life, that this life on earth is just temporary. There's life after this life. And that's what's important, and that's what we're here for on this journey, is to prepare for that life. He thought he had much time, this farmer did. He made plans. He simply thought he had much time. He thought he had plenty of time. And he forgot that this life that we live and we enjoy is temporary. Instead, he only had to the end of the day, according to the Bible. He just had that day. He thought he had plenty of time. But then Jesus, giving the parable, said, today, thou fool, your life's going to be required of you tonight. Can I just tell you, friends, that eternity is one breath away, one heartbeat away. We have to be prepared for eternity, the eternal life. Hey, church family, let me say this. Our days are determined by God. You had a start date, I had a start date. You have an end date, I have an end date. Don't know when that date is. And because we don't know what it is, we have to be prepared for eternity. It's amazing how we have so many names for death. Yeah, they passed away. They gone to a better place. They went to meet the Lord. And then we have some slang vocabulary words for death. He kicked the bucket. He bought the farm. He cashed in his chips. He bit the dust. Just all those names that we talk about in jest. In the poem, Graveyards, it says, oh, why do people waste their breath inventing dainty names for death? Because death is real. And it's consistent. 100% of people that live, die. And the only way you can get out of dying is the rapture. And so if the rapture don't take place, then all of us are going to die. So that we got to prepare for eternity. The farmer says, I paid my dues. I've done well for myself. It's time to let up. It's time to take it easy. It's time to eat, drink, and be merry.
The farmer thought nothing of others. He has all this bumper crop, but he didn't think about the extra he could have stored in his regular barns and gave the rest to others. He didn't think of that. He didn't think of the needy people all around him. He never thought about his huge surplus, how he could be effective in his community or his city or his town. It was only about getting, not giving. John Wesley had a role that he simply abided by, a rule that he lived by. And he says, earn all you can, save all you can, and give all you can. And so he backed that out. John Wesley backed it up. And while he was at Oxford in England, getting his education, he earned 30 pounds per year. Of the 30 pounds of income that he earned, his biography says he lived on 28 pounds and gave away 2 pounds. So he lived the necessities of life plus the savings, and he gave away 2 pounds, living on 28 pounds of 30 pounds. But then God blessed him. And when John Wesley was making double that, from 30 pounds to 60 pounds, from 60 pounds to 90 pounds a year, and then from 60 pounds to 100 and or from 30 pounds to 120 pounds a year annually, he followed his own rule. He continued to live on 28 pounds while he was making 60 and 90 and 100. He continued to live on 28 pounds, and he gave all the rest away, planning for his. He knew it was temporary. He understood, I can do better by giving it away. God's blessings to other people. Interesting, in verses 22 and 23, Jesus says, don't worry about what to eat. Don't worry about what to wear. He goes on to state there in the rest of that God feeds the birds. How much more valuable are you than the birds? Keep his eye on the sparrow, but what about you? More valuable. You have more worth. God takes care of them. He'll sure take care of you. That's the message Jesus is trying to give here in this parable. This rich farmer didn't realize that he was one breath away. This rich farmer didn't realize he was one heartbeat away. This rich farmer didn't realize that he was one accident away. This farmer remembered the wrong things. We're to remember the right things. On this fifth Sunday, Bradley Baptist Church, we're going to take time today to remember the right things. We're going to remember the Lord's Supper table. We're going to remember Jesus' death. We're going to remember Jesus' sacrifice, his punishment, as we simply go to the Lord's Supper table in just a moment. Let's bow our heads. Heads are bowed and eyes are closed. I have the invitation in just a second. Before we get into the Lord's Supper table, I want you to think about eternity. I want you to think about life. I want you to think about today. What happens tomorrow if we die? So that's what matters. What Jesus was teaching. The farmer thought he had it figured out. Many of us might think we have it figured out. We've got to really think about that seriously. Father, we pray now, Lord, as we have this invitation, Lord, we pray that in the name of Jesus, Lord, that we would just apply this truth to our lives, our hearts. Father, help us to never, ever be greedy. Lord, help us to be appreciative. Lord, help us to be grateful for the blessings and favor you put upon our lives. We're grateful for life. We thank you that we get to live life, Lord, on this journey on earth. We thank you for the things and the possessions that we've been allowed to have, Lord, while we're here. Lord, there's nothing wrong with that. It's just that we don't want the possessions out of us. So Lord, we pray today we would be mindful of our lives, mindful of this short time on earth compared to eternity with you in heaven. So Father, we pray today that for someone here that's not saved, someone here that's got their priorities mixed up, someone here that's much like the farmer, thinks about themselves and not others, that Lord, that you through the Holy Spirit would convict them, and Lord, that you would draw them to you.
Father, for that, we'll thank you. We love you in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's all stand for the maximum number.
249. If you'd like to take your hymnal and turn it to 249, Brother Max is going to lead us. You can sing along. We can help you this morning. You come. Life is short. Death is real. Are you ready? Let me ask you to sit down, please. Thank you. You may be seated.